A message from the Lord. Again, coming from the scripture that was read, that you heard in your reading this morning, Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 11 through 19. And I guess you all get tired of me saying this is one of my favorite passages of text, but around this time of the season, this passage of text is befitting. As we're preparing to go into a Thanksgiving season, it's amazing how we can go from Halloween to Christmas like that. Society is filled with sales of candy for Halloween and toys for Christmas. But that space in the middle, that time of being thankful, there are so few commercials. There are so few advertisements pushing families and friends and communities to stand together, to come together and love one another, to be thankful for what we have. So anytime I get the opportunity to do this Luke text, I am just over the moon. Because this text shows us what thankfulness should look like. This passage of text tells us how we should be thankful. Let's pray. Father, again, I stand before you in empty picture. Before you, Father, a full fountain. Again, asking that you would fill this picture. More than that, Father, that you would allow this picture to overflow with your message of how to be thankful. Allow that message to overflow and find its way out into the congregation, out to those whom you've given an ear to hear you, Father. Allow this message of how to be thankful to overflow and find its way out into those you've given a heart to receive. Allow this message to overflow. This message of how to be thankful to find its way out into those you've given the will to do. Father, again, as I decrease, I ask that you would touch these lips and this voice, allowing it to be yours, that you would be heard and not me, that this body, that you would hide it, so that only you would see. Father, now is the time in St. Luke's, this place, this edifice, this church family is the place for you to show up and show out. So have your way now in Jesus' name. I am always, again, amazed at this passage of text. This, again, is one of the favorites. So forgive me if I move a little quick at times or if I slow down a little longer and tarry in spots, but I can imagine we're in a time where being thankful is a byproduct. It is fleeting. We don't spend time thanking each other for the little things. We don't take time to thank God for the smallest, the minute of things. We wake up in the morning and we start our day. God is a second thought between rising out of bed, using the bathroom, brushing our teeth, taking the shower, combing our hair, throwing on our clothes, fixing our first cup of coffee, having breakfast, jumping in our cars, and doing what we have to do. If we thank him at that time after all of that, then there may be a lunch in between in the midst of all of that, and then it's back to doing our daily grind. There might be thank you in the midst. And if not, we fight the traffic, make our way home, prepare a meal, shake off the day's work, and go to bed. Nowhere in the midst of any of that did we give God reverence for what he brought us to what he brought us through. From our rising up to our laying down. God wasn't referenced in one iota. As we travel the highways, the byways, the skyways, the railways, and even along the seas, we don't control those vehicles. God does. But we've gotten in our minds that we've done it for so long that we've got this. With the use of social media, you know, being able to text and talk and walk and all of that stuff, we lose sight that we're one accident away of going home. But we don't think about it. It's what we do. We're moving most of the time on autopilot. You know, you hop in the car, you click the cruise control and let it do its thing. You steer every now and again. If you have Tesla, you probably hop in the back seat and let it drive you. But this passage of text showed us that we should not be on autopilot. I like these words of Luke. He says, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with skin diseases approached him. Now, you understand leprosy was a disease that you should not be in the midst of people. These 10 men, when they heard him approaching, it says they kept their distance from him, that they raised their voices and said, Jesus, Master, show us some mercy. Anybody just need a little mercy? Just a little grace? Every moment that you're awake, you're receiving a little grace, a little mercy. Because I'll remind the ladies in Bible study, right? Who do I remind you all? That for the amount of sin that we do, there are not enough animals on this earth to make us whole again. So even though we go through life thinking, oh, I didn't do anything, I didn't say anything, I remind you that sin is knowing and unknowing, commission and omission. Sin is word, thought, and deed. So somewhere along your day, you did something. You're probably doing it right now, thinking about the Pittsburgh game that'll be coming on later on. Idea, I know. But again, we must remember that we don't always focus on what God wants us to do. We don't always do what He's called us to do. So at times, we are a distance afar from Him. God didn't walk with us like He did with Adam and Eve. He doesn't walk with us like Christ did with the disciples. There is a space between us now, and we're forever trying to close it. To be honest, Christ, God is forever trying to close it that we may draw closer to Him. So I find myself as one of these lepers at a distance, calling out for God, for Christ to have mercy on me. But this is what gets me, because Luke is a physician. He was the physician of the disciples. And these are the words that I find that catches me. It says, when Jesus saw him, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. As they left, they were cleansed. With just a word, they were made whole. He told them, show yourself to the priest, because you had to get that blessing from him in order to be allowed back in. Now the text says this. One of them, when he saw that he had been healed, returned, praised God with a loud voice, fell on his face at Jesus' feet, and thanked him.
Now Luke was quick to point out that this man was a Samaritan. And if you all know, the Samaritans were the outcast. Their word would not stand in a court of law. They were considered half a person, three quarters of a person, a quarter of a person, however you wanted to look at it. They were not to be trusted in any form or fashion. But you understand, Jesus is healing. God's blessing didn't fall just upon the Jews, but fell on the Gentiles. It didn't fall just upon those who were called, but those who wasn't called at all. He did not discriminate amongst the ten when he gave the healing. So if you can imagine, if he didn't discriminate with them, for all the stuff that we've gone through, for how different we are, his atoning is for everybody. But the text again said, the one, the Samaritan that was healed, saw that he was healed, and he turned around, he came back and he praised God. I think Joanne's version said he prostrated himself before Jesus. So my brothers and sisters, during this time of being thankful, there are three things you need to do. How to be thankful. First, you have to recognize that you have been blessed, that you have been healed, that you have been made whole. See, our problem is we don't recognize that we have been blessed. Once you've recognized, you have now got to go back and you've got to praise God. Anybody realizes that the blessings, the healings, the things that you have received, you didn't do it. It didn't come from your own making, from your own hands. Only God did that. So if you've been healed, you need to thank the one that healed you. If you've been blessed, you need to give praise to the one that blessed you. Sure, the doctors might cut on you, but even they make mistakes. If God wasn't in it, you wouldn't be here. Ain't that right, Miss Pat? Two hips, a couple of eyes. I'm just saying. She's my bonded woman. You don't realize going under the knife is that dangerous, no matter how small it is. Once you've realized you've been healed, you've been blessed, and you've gone back and you've praised God, you now need to prostrate yourself. Humble yourself. Because again, you didn't do any of it. There was nothing that you said, there was nothing that you did that warranted the grace, the mercy, the blessings that God has put up on you. If you can do those three things, if you can constantly praise in the midst of your going throughs, in the midst of your coming out, God will continue to bless you. But he said that one recognized that he was healed and came back. And y'all don't think God pays attention, that Christ pays attention? His words were, weren't there 10 that was cleansed? Didn't I cleanse 10 people? Where are the other 9? Why is it that this one has returned to give praise? And I'm sure if I was reading in a different variation, it would say, this Samaritan, this one that wasn't even worthy of my healing, returned and gave praise. I ask you to find yourself when you read the text. I find myself being the one that was not even worthy. So when I receive a blessing, no matter how small it is, I give praise because I know I am not worthy. What did John the Baptist say? I'm not even worthy to tie the thongs on his sandals. So to be blessed, to be thankful, you first got to understand why you're being blessed. You first got to understand that you received even when you didn't deserve it. After you've received, you've got to give praise and give thanks so that the blessings keep coming down. What do we say when praises go up? What happens?
Blessings
come down. And you need to fall before the Lord and let him know. Give him what he's due because you didn't do it on your own. This is how to be thankful. This is the word of God for the people.